All right. Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Bible TNT. This is the fourth now in our series. We've been bringing you a series on Sunday mornings on bringing back the scattered sheep. And people today are talking about, boy, America's in trouble. I'm looking at the local churches are in trouble. And we need to understand, judgment begins at the house of God. And so you're looking for things to happen to America. You better start looking at the church. Look at the church first. I think that's where the problems are going to start first. And what we think is okay now, what's good now, what we think people should not be so upset about. What's wrong with you people that you're against this, you're against that? Well, if the Bible's against it, I'm against it. If the Bible's for it, I'm for it, and that's the way it needs to be. And we don't need to see if we can conform to the culture. We need to get the culture saved and then let them conform to Christ. And so we're trying to conform to the wrong thing. That's not even in the sermon, but sounded good, didn't it? Okay. Mark chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Another part of the Bible, it even tells us that even the thought of foolishness is sin. All these evil things come from within, and they defile the man. Now, shall we pray? Father, I pray as we look into your word today, that thy Holy Spirit would make it clear to everyone under the sound of my voice. Whether it's those here in the auditorium, those listening by way of internet, watching this service, others listening on the radio, and those who may hear this service at a later time by recording. Lord, whatever it is, I pray thy Holy Spirit would move mightily in the heart. I'm just the messenger, just the vessel. It's thy Spirit and it's thy word. Help us to rightly divide your word today in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The mission of the local church is not to entertain, it's not to placate everybody, or even meet men's physical needs. The church is actually not, as some think it is, a social welfare agency. That's not our ministry. Rather, it is to faithfully proclaim the Word of God to a lost and dying world. We're to proclaim the Word of life, showing them the saving gospel, but not only the saving gospel, but also to follow that up by the teaching and the preaching of the word. Matter of fact, every church service is a time of discipling. And every time I sit under the word of God, somebody else is preaching and teaching it, I'm being discipled. I don't reach it in this lifetime a period where, okay, now you've reached that level, and it's time now to, you don't have to do those things. I've got to have the Word of God every day. Every day. Now, our battle cannot be won without the supernatural strength of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it must be accomplished through the Holy Spirit working in us to direct us and through us to deliver His message. Neutrality is not an option that is given to the believer by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, you serve someone, whether you realize you do or not. You do serve someone in this lifetime because the Bible is very clear about it. In Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 16, we read this. Let not sin therefore reign. That is, don't let it be king. Don't let it be the government in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. In other words, that ye should obey it has the idea that you do have a choice. You have a choice to obey it or not obey it. But the more you give into it, one day it will control you. But as Christians, when we get saved, the power of sin no longer has to reign in our lives. Boy, what a great God that we have that saves us from our sin's consequences, saves us from sin's power. What a wonderful God that we have. Now, it says in verse 13 there of Romans chapter 6, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Now listen to verse 15, because I believe God put it in here for those false prophets who would arise as they have in each age and have arisen in our age, and very strongly so, that say, oh yes, we're under grace. We have the liberty to do these things. We have the liberty to do these things that were once called sin. And they always apply that grace and liberty to the flesh, and that is sin every time they do. But that has so permeated, since the 1980s when men started writing it, men of letters with big names and great followings, and starting to justify social drinking and everything else. So today, you wonder why the churches are in the condition they are. Why are they having praise teams? Which do, it is a praise team, but praise is the wrong one. It doesn't praise the Lord. It praises the devil. I was listening to Brother Mike Allison recently preach. Brother Mike Allison said that there are some local fundamental Baptist churches that he knows them. That every Friday night they get together. And I mean, they practice their songs, they practice their movements, they practice everything they're going to do in their service. Their little praise team. Look, we don't choreograph the music. It's the words of God, and if the words are unscriptural, it shouldn't be there anyway. But if the music is of hell instead of heaven, then we don't need to use it either. And let me tell you something, if it's beat driven, it's of hell. And I will not apologize. Don't even come and ask me for an apology for that, because one is not coming. But in verse 15 it says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. It's not me that said forbid. God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto the righteousness? This passage there in Romans chapter 6 deserves an entire message in and of itself. We're not going to do that today. But I'm just using it to sum up that the purpose of our text and subject today by saying that you're either a servant of sin or you're a servant of righteousness. You say, oh, no, no. I'm my own man. I'm my own master. No, you're not. If you think you're your own master, I can tell you right now, Satan has you so deceived you don't realize it. He really does. As in satanic control, the devil can have such control that a man who surrenders everything to him, that man will be capable of doing the worst things that at one time in his lifetime he would have said, never me. On the other hand, a Christian that surrenders everything to the God and the Holy Spirit of God has complete control of his life. It is unlimited what God can do through that person. Now, will there be trials? Oh, yes. Will there be troubles? Oh, yes. But it's unlimited what the power of God can do through an individual. It's our old nature within that hinders it all. That's the hindrance. Now, God is not looking for people in His house to give Him a few evenings of their leisure time to the Lord. Rather, He's looking for those who will give their whole life unto the Lord in everything they do. I think of that old farmer by the name of Amos, or a shepherd boy by the name of David, or a physician by the name of Luke, a fisherman by the name of Peter. They gave it all to the Lord, and God did great and mighty things through each of them. Now, I'm not speaking when I'm saying giving it all to the Lord. I'm not speaking of full-time employment in a Christian ministry. That's not it. We're talking about full-time Christian living. No matter where you work, no matter where you live, you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. Our neighbor yesterday smoked all kind of meat. I mean alpaca. Just all kind of weird meat. I mean, it wasn't chicken. It wasn't a steak. But it was all these weird meats. You know, you're getting something's good. It really was good. But invited us over. And he said something. I says, well, you know I'm a preacher, and a preacher wouldn't do that. But you know what? He had a bunch of people there. They just said, come over. And listen, you get to one way or another represent Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not pointing at myself. Please don't get that. What I'm just saying is that you can represent Jesus Christ wherever you go. Keep that in your mind. Keep that in your heart. Full-time Christian living. Now, let's look at the truth about the text, and let's look at the truth about the old nature, because that's what our text is talking about. The things that our old nature is capable of accomplishing. The old man within, that old nature that we have, is not regenerated when a person gets saved. Instead, you're given a new nature. But the old can be tempted from without, and it can try to put its influence on your new nature. It will work as hard as it can. Now, keep it in mind. Our text says that all these things first begin in the heart. As we do something the Lord told us not to do, it's always going to end in sinful wrong. In a list of imperative commands, and an imperative command means simply that you're going to have to give an account thereof. In the list of imperative commands in Ephesians chapter 4, we're told never give place to the devil. But you see, these things can get into our heart, as we see there in our Mark passage, and get into the inner man and proceed to the mind. And when it gets into the inner man and mind, Satan gets a foothold. Sometimes the place is given by entertainment. The TV. It can be a vile dream that you have that was adulterous in its nature, but your mind chose afterwards to dwell on it. It can be nudity through various medias, leading to fornication and evil thoughts. Mind control today is something that is actually, it's had much written onto it. It's a science that is practiced today, but it's not like some of you think that, boy, you say this magic word and they become a robot. Yes, I will do that. No, I won't do that. Yes, sir, I will do. No, it's not that. But this idea is that they'll flood your mind with so much that it leads to acceptance of those things. That which was once to you iniquitous and indecent is suddenly accepted. TV, many sources at once will flood you until you accept the philosophy, the principles, that you knew were wrong at one time, and now all of a sudden you're questioning it. Russia did this with comic books back in the early 1900s to change the youth and much of the adults as well across their nation to establish what they wanted. Hitler also drew on the young and flooded their minds. We see that today with the Dewey system of education and public education. Boy, at first they said, boy, that sounds so good. But in time, that Dewey system, which your public schools use, has pretty well been able to flood the minds. And so we've eliminated morals and other things. You don't believe that? Just look in your newspapers about gender-neutral bathrooms. I'm glad that we had some people that had enough courage about them not to vote for that, voted against it. I'm really glad. Those four that did that, bless God for them. Pray for the one that didn't. But let me add this to it. If they ever do add something like that, as a Christian, never, ever, ever. That may be your political side anyway, but outside your political side, more so your Christian stand. They ever say, we need a tax millage for our schools, for education, and they're putting that in, don't vote for it. Vote against it, because then you're helping to finance to do those things. Be against it 110%. Now think for a moment about politics. I'm not trying to be politic here, but politics, religion, and TV. And again, this is not political, but I'm going to use some political examples. If you are 50 or older today, do you believe that 40 years ago that a man who hosts the beauty pageants and two wives, three times two of the wives, supposed naked, would be considered for the presidency? Would you think that a lady who's done all that she has done and the immorality that has surrounded them and the various things, that they would be considered for the presidency and be considered for such a high office with their moral backgrounds and their radical beliefs? Well, I can tell you 1,000 times no, that wouldn't have been considered. It would not have happened. Yet it's true today. Now again, I'm not speaking of a political position. I use both parties then, okay? So it's not a political position I'm talking about. Right now, the flood of TV and media saturation takes the most vile things, and they've made them acceptable to so many people. Even so-called good evangelicals. What if you said that the churches would rock and roll? That women would actually stand on the church stage in the attire of a harlot? Which, by the way, the designers of the short skirts, the mini skirts, and the low-cut tops that reveal things that only the husband should see? Do you realize that they all, everyone said they designed that at the beginning for harlots? Now, you may not like hearing that, but that's the truth of the matter. And I'm just trying to deliver you what God thinks about it. We thought we could never see that. That could never happen. That's only something that happens in the deep jungles of the Amazon and other places where tribes of uneducated and heathenistic people paraded around naked. But not in the church. And yet even today we find that there are parents and grandparents that try to okay it. Well, it's not that bad. Hey, we're living in a different culture today. You realize that's not new. They said that in Jeremiah's day, when their religion was doing the same thing. I mean, they didn't stop being Jews. They didn't stop their Judaistic practices in the temple. No, that didn't stop. That continued. They just accepted the culture of the day. Well, how'd that work out for Jerusalem? Exactly the way Jeremiah said it would. It was burned, and they lost everything for 70 years. Don't be so foolish trying to defend because they're your children or grandchildren, whatever, by saying, well, at least they're in church. Well, at least they're in the ministry. Look, if it's blasphemy, being in church or ministry doesn't make it right. And you say, well, preacher, why are you saying those things? Simply for this. Parents and grandparents, if you destroy the foundations, when God brings judgment to their lives to get right, and they come back and they say, well, Mom and Dad was right, my grandpa, Grandma Hall was right, and they come back and you've abandoned those foundations, you've broken the hope of your children. You stand by the stuff. Stand by the stuff. TV has gone from no cussing at all to the vowels, the filthy mouths. Ladies are dressed as a harlot dresses. And the subject matter has little or no limitations. Not one of us should have been surprised by gay marriage being passed in this country, or abortion, easy divorce, all access pornography. These things were stealthily brought to an addiction process via education, the flood of media, and other various areas of reporting to make people think, well, this is all right. And mindless Christians have accepted so much of it. Now, you got politicians and others say, I'm against it. They're really against it. They'll start a constitutional amendment against those things. Oh, no. We don't want to amend the Constitution. Well, they're doing it on the other side without legal precedent. So that's the only way you can overcome it. From a area, if you're not going to try to the Lord's way. Now, the Lord's way is to get these people saved. Now again, all of this goes on about us. And we think, well, what's so bad about this? Well, let me tell you what's so bad about this. If you parents don't learn to check your children's mobile and home devices and social media devices, they may be hooked on things that you had no idea. And they are as addicted to that as some people get addicted to cocaine. We are flooded today with an attack on the mind. Don't forget, Satan tried to desensitize Eve to the holiness of God. He deceived her about what the fruit could do. And then destroyed man's previous standing by making sure that he followed through until Eve followed through. Let me tell you something. The momentary pleasure that Eve had was not worth the lifelong regret. Sin is never singular. Sin is never logical. And sin never delivers on its promises. You ask Eve. I mean, wasn't that a religious level? Hey, eat of that fruit, and you'll be right there on the same level with God. You'll be able to just commune with God. Boy, isn't that better if you can just commune with God that way? And people have been taken in down through the ages. Same way today, it's what we got to do to win them. No, it's what you got to do to make sure they go to hell. Now, we could spend several Sundays on the list in our text. I'm just saying all of this is that Satan bids for your mind, that he might destroy your life. His goal is to take you from being effectual for God if you're saved, and if then you're not saved, he's trying to keep you from it by saying, well, look, people think you're crazy if you get saved. And folks, that's the truth. The second thing is the need. Let's consider the need today. How did we get to this way? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, it goes much against the ideas of most Christian denominations, most Christians and all across the board. And that is this. There's some things that must have Christian psychiatric training or counseling. The multitude of counselors is the Word of God. Now listen. I'm going to read through this list in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. They didn't have counseling, professional counselors, and psychiatry. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators. Now, fornicators is any type of sexual sin. It's a general word for sexual sin. And it could be anything. Anything outside of the marriage bed, by the way, is sin. Homosexuality, bestiality, pornography, all of that outside the marriage bed. And by the way, the marriage bed is God's definition. A man and a woman. Not a man and a man, not a woman and a woman. A man and a woman. That is God's definition. Anything else is highly abominable to God. But listen, adultery is just as abominable as homosexuality. And you move in and live together without marriage, you're just being as much an abominable person as a homosexual is. And you better understand that by the Word of God, because God is the one that is the final judge. He says, fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. By the way, let me just say this about adultery. Adultery is a specific word. It talks about cheating on your mate. Understand this. That Ezekiel shows that that may even be worse than the harlot, because the harlot does it for money. This person that cheats on their mate and is not getting money for it, they're just doing it. It says that's even worse according to Ezekiel. So I want you to know that that is the way God is telling us about these things. He goes on to say, nor effeminate, that's the homosexual, nor the abusers themselves with mankind. So that is the perverted of all type of sexual things. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers. That's the social drinking partying group. Nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, and such were some of you. Isn't that great? Were. Because they didn't get counseled out of it. God just took them out of it when they received him and they were cleansed by his blood. He says, such were some of you, but ye were washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. See, the Bible tells us how God did it back in that day. He tells us how it happened. Because, you see, He saves us when He saves us from the power of sin. Even those sins to which they were addicted. He saves us from the eternal consequences of sin. He did it that day by the total cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. They were sanctified, that is, they were set apart by God for His special work as His children. Then justified by being in Christ. But you've heard me say many times, getting saved is not easy believism. The salvation commitment is the same as getting married. Now, some are good marriage partners, some are average, and some are bad, but they're still married. This is coming to Jesus Christ. It's a commitment to Him. Jesus was tempted by Satan. That is, that He was tried, for He could not sin. But His human spirit was placed to the test. He felt the full brunt of the attack. But He fought him, and He fought him this way, with the Scriptures. You can fight the devil. But if you're just reading a little devotional each day and that's it, you're probably going to lose. You need much time in God's Word and in meditating on God's Word and thinking on God's Word and obeying God's Word if you're going to have victory over the devil. Now just think about it. In that day, they had no extra Bibles. What did they do? Timothy tells us that they went down. They went to the local church. He says, give attention to reading. Why? They didn't have copies of the Bible. Listen. So you can listen and think on it and pray on it and meditate on it and allow it to direct your life to obey the Lord. Jesus read the Bible in the synagogue when He said, this day is it fulfilled in your ears. But you see, they had to be there to read it. In His humanity, Christ showed us how to win the battle for the mind, and that is, it is written. It is written. It is written. You meditate therein and you obey it. And when you do, it'll truly be a lamp unto your feet to show you yourself, and it'll be a light unto your path to show you the direction, the way you should walk morally, spiritually, holily, righteously in this present world. So we've seen the text. We see the need. But we can also see the triumph is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We must obey the Word. You know what? If you give yourself to the Word, it may take you from TV for a while. It may take you from time on Facebook or other media. But you know what? When we think of our reading of God's Word, your devotional, I mean, we put devotionals in your bulletin. Good, solid devotionals, not these little emotional tell you story thing. But that doesn't suffice for your personal time in the Word of God. Prayer and meditation. Do you realize that, that should outdo in time and weight than the time you spend on your social media, whether it's Facebook or some other thing, or entertainment? We all fight a losing battle with that at times. But listen, we're not going to triumph if we don't get that in order. Let Him be the meditation of our heart. Let Him be the desire of our heart. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The word service has the idea of worship. When your life, when your body and the way you conduct your body as well as your life, it is holy and acceptable unto God. It's the way in which you worship Him, even in your daily life. And He says, be not conformed to this world. Don't try to make your life imitate the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, a change, completely different, 100% different, by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? In the Word of God, you may show what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In Philippians 2, 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and being found in the form of a servant, he was made in the likeness of men, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In short, when you're humbling yourself, you're not seeking to exalt yourself. See, the goal of mind control from the secular side is to make you feel good about yourself and to keep you away from knowing and obeying the truth. See, there's a humbling of yourself, but there's also a commitment to Christ. A commitment to His Word. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. See, don't leave out any part of the Great Commission. A lot of people say, we've got to get them saved, got to get them saved, got to get them saved, we've got to get them saved. That's right, they need to get saved, but they also need to grow. If you're going to say, oh, we've got to get them saved, and you leave out the rest, they're not going to grow, and then you're going to have the world coming into the church. Now, if we are desiring revival and the salvation of our country, especially for our sons and our daughters and our grandchildren, we've got to commit ourselves more to the Word of God and obedience thereto than we are to our social media, our entertainment, or what have you. Then you'll have the truth. You'll know the need, and then you can triumph in Christ. Now, none of that's possible if you're not saved. If you don't know that if you died tonight that heaven's your home, my friend, let me tell you this. In Revelation 22:17, he says, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. You know who said that? Jesus Christ himself. And he does not lie. In John 6:37, you come to him, he'll in no wise cast you out. Romans 10:10, for with the heart your life, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Listen, the verse before that, though, said that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Lord, his deity, he was God in the flesh. Jesus, his humanity, that would pay the penalty for our sins, and he would die and he'd be buried, and then he would raise up physically, bodily from the grave. He would do that for you. He'd do that for me. And listen, we just act upon it, for with the heart. Remember, out of the heart, all these evil things proceed, but it's also in the heart you can receive Christ Jesus. You see? That's when you give it over to Christ. You say, well, what about those things? Boy, they're powerful. Hey, he can take them away if you'll let him. get in His Word. The world's already brainwashed most of us, if not all of us, to a certain degree. Let the Word of God wash you in His righteousness and holiness. Oh, I hope that you'll come to Him. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we pray now as we get ready to sing hymn 366. I surrender all, and the Lord help us realize that's what it's about. And if this country is going to be turned around, Christians have to surrender all to Jesus Christ. Lord, our children are worth it. Our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, they're worth, Lord, because they're souls that You love. Help us, Lord, to stand true. Help us to stand strong. Help us to be men and women of faith. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.